Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Currie. I'm your presenter for Senior Focus. And this session is going to be primarily about the bill that's in Parliament at the moment, known as the Accessibility for New Zealanders Bill. And I've spoken about this legislative change before, but I haven't gone into it in great detail. There's been, so far, a first reading stage. It's been debated, and there's been a lot of personal stories shared by MPs in the House. It went to the Social Services Community Select Committee. So there's 9 MPs on that committee. They're going to examine this bill in more detail, and they'll hear submissions from the public. So submissions are now open, and the closing date is the 7th of November this year, which means we don't have a huge amount of time to talk to community and get people to tell their stories. And so basically with one or two other people who are advocates of change around this legislation, I have put together 2 workshops to happen in Auckland, and I'll announce those in the program further on. And there will be information available. I'll send it through to the Planet FM website. But also, it's worthwhile keeping an eye out at libraries and community centres, because we'll make sure that there's information going out to lots of leaders of community groups and so on, so that people do know about it. It only takes really 5 minutes to have your say, and there will be people present in the workshop who can help record your views so that they can get into a form that will be ready to be a submission and to go in. So even if you think you can't write anything, it doesn't matter. You can tell your story, and someone else can actually scribe and help shape things up for the purposes of the submission. So nobody need fear that they've never done a submission to Parliament before and they can't do it. It's very doable, and it's part of democracy that we express ourselves and we get our thoughts down on paper. But more about the background of this bill. How did it come about? Why do we have one about accessibility right now in the House? It's come through about 12 years of lobbying and advocacy work in New Zealand following the declaration of the rights of disabled people at the UN in 2011. And at that time, I remember a prominent Grey Power president in Auckland, in the south of Auckland, actually, in County Manukau, and John Ballantyne, the late John Ballantyne, I should correct myself there, he passionately declared that that's what we had to fight for, was our rights as older adults, as people who are ageing, who's facing discrimination that is I hope you can cut this bit out. There's blatantly ageism at work. So Dawn was very much a supporter of the UN Declaration because he saw it as the beginning of the advocacy journey. It could bring legal teeth to influence changes and improvements that were needed. Changes in the environment so that disabled people could move around and have easier access to get in and out of buildings. But that was just the beginning. I mean, he saw the digital changes coming in society and the barriers to communication, barriers to even practicing democracy when people, voices were not being considered because they weren't online expressing things. So there's been a lot of work done by a lot of people over the last 12 years since the UN passed that declaration that was signed by 135 countries. New Zealand signed it, and everyone thought, well, that's the beginning and we will have legislative change that will actually bring about a necessity of incorporating the rights and needs of disabled people into how we formulate things, how we buy furniture that's going to be used in public spaces, how we plan our development of our suburbs and our cities, our walkways, our malls, our shopping centres and town centres, whether the footpaths are adequate, how the seating is arranged and the type of seating, whether there's backs to the seats and armrests that people can help propel themselves forwards and up when they need to get out of them. I was very conscious as a community leader just how crazy some of the decision making was at times about furniture for libraries and places. They would choose very low slung furniture, which might suit teenagers, but was absolutely hopeless to older people who had hip knee problems and maybe bladder difficulties, you know, just trying to get themselves from a low level to a vertical position was a major obstacle, of course, for them. Sorry. This legislation really is about recognising that 24% of New Zealanders across all ages currently face barriers that are due to having some kind of a disability. It might be mental, it might be their eyes or their ears. Some people have quite limited eyesight. It deteriorates quite rapidly. And then they may be able to see outlines of things, but when it comes to actually focusing on text on a page, or particularly online, things like glare on surfaces, things like lighting inside buildings, I've noticed recently the lighting in the new revamped East Coast Bay Library is very difficult because it casts too much glare and too many shadows between on screens when they're trying to do PowerPoint presentations in their training sessions that they're offering. So they may be offering digital education to help upskill seniors, but unless you've got particularly strong eyesight, you may be quite unable to see what they're presenting. New Zealanders, perhaps as a whole, though, often don't face disabilities until they reach their 70s and the 80s. And it's when they become frail and vulnerable, or they're caring for someone else, a partner who's like that, that they become more aware of exactly what barriers are around and just how difficult some communication, some movement, some accessible lack of accessibility impacts on their life and how they go about things. So it's only when they're prevented from gaining access and the assistance they need that they can really appreciate how difficult life can become. But for many New Zealanders, that is the story of their life, of their whole life, or for a greater part of it. And it starts in childhood. So this legislation really is very important. If it affects nearly a quarter of all New Zealanders, it's major legislation. So, currently, there's some choices in front of people who want to respond to the legislation. First of all, you need to be able to state what your opinion of this bill is. And any study of it, whether you study the Act as it was presented in Parliament, whether you study a synopsis of the Act by groups and advocates, what you will find is that the bill doesn't have any means of enforcement. It only applies to central government, so it's not applicable to the private sector. It has no standards. It has no regulator. It has no dispute resolution process. and it has no obligations or time frame. So it only creates a new advisory committee, a committee that does not require an act of parliament. So it will only perpetrate the slow and fragmented system currently in place. In other words, it's not an instrument of change. It will rely on values, priorities and decisions of future ministers. There is a minister for disabled persons, and there is a new ministry being created. And this is legislation to sit underneath it as a guidance, really. But it's not going to bring about innovation. It's not going to uphold the rights of disabled people in situations that are far-reaching, planning that's long-term and things like that. It's not going to help people in disputes with their employer. It's not going to help people get into employment either. So it's very disappointing. And because of this, some people have taken the view that they would prefer to see the bill scrapped, and they would not want to see the bill progressed at the moment as it is. Other people say, well, this is the best we've got at the moment. Let's see this as stage one, and let's work on supporting it, but modifying it, so we get some changes made. So you've got three positions that you can adopt. You can oppose the bill in its current form, you can support the bill in its current form, or you can support the bill in principle but want some changes made. And you might want to make some comment on the fact there's no enforceable standards, comment on the fact that nobody is going to be forced to comply, only the government departments. There's no independent regulator, and as I said before, there's no disputes resolution process. And quite honestly, if there's no time frame to implement it, there's no accountability, apart from to the minister of the time, it's very, very limited. Now, I've repeated myself, so I'm really wanting to inform you people in the public just about the bill and about the opportunity you have to express your views. And you might think, well, you're not disabled, it doesn't affect you. But it does really, because the minute you face your mid-70s, going into your 80s, you start to notice, for example, friends making different decisions about their living environment are based around their mobility needs. Some friends may say, well, I'm not going to be able to visit you anymore because I can't get in your front door. You can come see me, but I can't come and see you. Or I'm not going to meet for lunch with the group anymore because new people are going to such and such a cafe and I just can't manage the steps there. Things like that are going to be said to you, and you're going to become aware of barriers in the environment and how they impact. And sometimes that will upset you because it's somebody important in your life and you think, oh, I can't imagine going to lunch without so-and-so. Or I feel really sad that because I live on a hill, nobody's going to visit me anymore. I think often people who are able-bodied don't always foresee what it's going to be like long-term, actually when they're 5 to 10 years older. Perhaps if they're able-bodied and strong and healthy, they may be in a much better position than a lot of their contemporaries. And so at that point, that's when they start to have their social life curtailed, that it all starts to fall into place, just how important these issues really are and how much we can do in simple ways. It doesn't necessarily have to cost more. For example, procurement policies could be just amended so that before money is spent, there is a tick-the-box exercise that has to be done by members of the disabled community. They have to actually do a test run or trial of the actual type of furniture that's going to be purchased before it's purchased. So they can actually say, well, this isn't going to work. And the same way with designs. I mean, I can think of Auckland Transport with various exits and entrances that are, and even a cycleway, the angle of it was far too steep so people in wheelchairs couldn't use it. I can think of situations where a culvert was put right across a sloping exit from a bus station, and it meant that people who had visual impairments, no children particularly, or older people, would trip and fall. They would trip on the edge of that culvert as they went downhill because they just couldn't see it. And it was unnecessary because it could have been put at the bottom of the slope where it wasn't an issue, where it didn't cause anyone to fall over. Instead, there would be all these claims going to ACC. It's things like that that are so annoying. And I'm sure there are many stories that you can come up with, and that's what we really want. For this to be successful, this exercise of putting submissions in, we need stories. We need stories from people of all ages. We need stories from seniors in particular. And sometimes that's the best thing you can do, is write on behalf of others. And like I said, it may not affect you directly, but you are in a position to observe and have a perspective on what is actually happening for others. You can see clearly the inadequacies of a lot of what's done. If they're going to spend the money on furniture anyway, it's not going to cost more to have furniture design that actually fits the needs of everyone as opposed to only 75% of the population. And that's the point that I think we need to make. It's not about spending more money. It's not about adding a layer of bureaucracy in. It's about having just a signal in the system that before something's signed off, it has to be checked out for suitability for disabled people. Suitability, and there could be half a dozen key types of disability that need to be considered. I know, for example, in one of the libraries in Auckland, they chose to put in a carpet with a very complex visual design on this carpet. Now, it was a far more expensive carpet than plain carpet, but that didn't deter those that were spending the money because they wanted to make an architectural design statement. They wanted something a bit above the average. But no one checked what kind of an impact it would have on people with certain kinds of visual disturbance and certain kinds of mental issues. As a result, it does make some people feel giddy, disorientated. Some people can't even walk across that carpet. They would need to be in a wheelchair to be safe. And I'm not joking. It actually has quite a marked impact. It even had a mild effect on myself, even though I wasn't really thinking that I was affected in that way. I was surprised. So these kinds of things, a lot of people just wouldn't enter their head. But if certain standards were adopted for public spaces anyway, so that things that were not going to create problems were part of the norm in procurement standards, then we could prevent a lot of problems. quite simply, and we wouldn't even need to have formal checking processes. So I guess there's a lot more discussion that could take place. There's a lot more awareness that could be created, and we've got a long journey ahead of us, and we're not very far down the road. And that's the message I want to give you today, that some people think, oh, because there was a declaration at the UN, disabled people are better catered for now than they were 10 years ago. And, you know, they've got it better than a lot of people who are in the mainstream who just are having a temporary hiccup because of the result of an accident or a fall or an injury. But sure, long-term disabilities are difficult to live with. I'm not denying that. But I think that we do need to consider all of the needs as a whole. And it's not much use advancing one group over another. I think we need a comprehensive look at things. And that's got to be part of this legislation. And there's got to be avenues for people to be able to take cases if they feel they've been excluded in an environment by the way the environment's designed or by the lack of access, the lack of digital support, and so on. We need to be able to bring this out in the open. We don't want to be fighting individual cases forever. We need comprehensive legislation that protects people so that the majority of people automatically take steps to be inclusive of disabled people rather than every single incident has to be an issue that has to be fought over. So today, talking to you about this, I just want to say that the workshop for the people of Auckland, for both organisations and individuals who want to tell their stories, who want to mix with others and work towards helping collectively get some submissions to the Parliament. The workshop is on the 18th of October at 12:30, and it's bring your lunch. We can share a bit of kai together and make introductions, and then the formal part of the workshop will begin at 1 o'clock, and we will go through till quarter to three, so that we finish just ahead of the schools coming out. It means you've got more chance of being able to travel without being in a congested traffic lane. And the venue is the Sunny Nook Community Centre, and that's got a website and Sunny Nook Community Centre, and they are wonderful at hosting events. So we've got all the digital support. We all have a PowerPoint there. We've got room to spread out into smaller groups. So you needn't feel that you're going to be part of a large group. You will be able to talk in groups of five. And we've got a number of people who can circulate around those groups and gather information and help you work out what are the most important things for you to say in your submission that reflect your experience. So 18th of October, 12:30, bring your lunch. Sunny Nook Community Centre, and we look forward to having as many people here as possible. We've got plenty of space, and if you're planning to come, I suggest you text your name and contact details to me on 027 301 6202, and at least I'll have an idea of the fact that you are coming, and I'll be able to contact you if there's any cancellations or any changes come about. But at this point in time, it seems like a very definite way in which we can mobilise people and get their stories together. So I look forward to having you with us. And now we're going to finish off was the music. Very timely, I thought, and fitting, given that Queen Elizabeth's passing has had a huge impact on the world. And so I've chosen Andrea Bocelli and Sarah Brightman, Time to Say Goodbye. Enjoy until we meet again. Thank you.
With Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.
longest hour of your day. You light a match so you can find your...